Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tom Harris Live. This is Tom Harris coming to you from an absolutely gorgeous Chicago, Illinois. We have had fantastic weather for the last few days, especially yesterday and today, where it's almost like autumn here now. It is just really, really nice. And unfortunately, I mean, our good weather is the result of Hurricane Earl. And so I do feel bad for the people over on the East Coast who are getting socked with rain right now. But their misfortune is our gain here in Chicago, because it has been in the lower 70s for the last couple of days. Absolutely gorgeous outside. And just after the show, well, not just after the show, but later this weekend, I will be going out and about and doing some more geocaching and being out in the wilderness. We had a great time last weekend, incidentally, and we kind of left straight away after the show last week, my boyfriend Pete and I, and went out to, I don't remember the name of the county. Is it Grundy County? I'm not really sure. It's down sort of southwest of Chicago. Takes a couple hours to get there just because you have to drive through so much of Chicago to get there. That's always the case. People always complain about the traffic in and around the city when they're traveling from place to place, because most of the major highways come through Chicago, or they bypass Chicago. And when you're kind of traveling through, you can often get caught in the kind of rush hour traffic on the expressway, kind of the loop road that goes around Chicago. If you're trying to get to Milwaukee, for example, or Minneapolis, and you have to go through Chicago, that's everyone's least favorite part of the trip. Well, just imagine if you're actually living in Chicago and you have to go out of Chicago and you have to go past all this traffic. It's just, it's a nightmare, folks. It just is a nightmare. But anyway, we went down to Ottawa, Illinois. And that is kind of, like I said, about southwest of Chicago. If you go southeast of Chicago, like I said before, you're going to end up in Indiana, or you're going to end up indeed in the lake. So we don't want to do that. I'm not telling my listeners to go jump in the lake. Absolutely not. Incidentally, you can Skype into the show. You can Skype in at the show, which is the username United Kingdom Radio, just like Chris's show. So thanks very much to Chris. I might be feeling a little bit sinusy today, incidentally. So if I sound a little bit anal, sound a little bit sinusy, that's why. So anyway, that's me. And so anyway, yeah, I was telling the story about our little canoe trip. We went down to this place called Ottawa, and that's kind of a couple hours away. And down there, they have the Fox River. Now, the Fox River is actually quite a long river and goes, quite a bit up through through Illinois. And it even comes up, you know, past here. But up here, it's not, I don't think it's navigable after a certain point. But down there, it's sort of this prime canoeing area. And we've been down there, I think this is our fourth time there. And It's just an absolutely gorgeous, it's a wide, slow-moving body of water when the water is at the level it was this weekend. Sometimes when it's lower, it's a little bit more complicated to get from point A to point B. But we actually spent Sunday kind of traveling down the Fox River. Now, Mikey Holt asked me last week if it's the same Fox River that is featured in the movie Prison Break. And the answer to that is yes, it is, because it does actually flow near Joliet, which is where the big prison is here in Illinois. It's what we call the Illinois Charm School at Joliet. And everybody, Mikey is messaging me. It says the TV series Prison Break. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Well, you know, I don't know anything about what's on TV. Now, is that just a UK show, Mikey, or is that something that I should probably know about? Because as everyone knows, I don't have a television. I don't really pay much attention to TV. But anyway, you get on the canoe down near in a place called Wedron. And Mikey says it's a U.S. show. Okay. So conceivably, I should know about this, shouldn't I? But Ottawa is actually not where you get on the canoe. You know, this is actually a place called Wedron, and it's sort of north of Ottawa. and I think it's Grundy County. Not absolutely sure about that, but I'm pretty sure that's where it is. And the way this works is you go to the place that has the canoes, which is it's a canoe livery, basically. And there's a couple of them up there that we've been to now. One of them is at Ayers Landing, and the other one is what was called C&M Canoe Rental. But so anyway, so you go to the canoe place and you pay them your money, and then they put you on a school bus or on a van, and they drive you 12 miles or 15 miles upstream. So you then, you know, when you get upstream, you get in the canoe and you float or paddle down back to where you started, to where your car is. So that's kind of what we did. And it is absolutely a gorgeous river in a lot of ways. This time the water was rather high, and so some of the challenge is gone. It just becomes kind of a nice leisurely float, and you just kind of float from place to place. And we didn't see much wildlife this time. In the past we've seen deer and of course cows. We saw cows this time too, and various types of waterfowl. We saw herons and cliff swallows is big there because there's these cliffs, sandstone cliffs, and the birds have kind of pecked out these little caves, and that's where they build their nests, and they kind of, you see them flying around eating all the bugs, and we like that. We like the fact that the birds and the dragonflies are there eating all the mosquitoes so that they don't bite us. And so that was sort of what we did. And then later on Sunday, on the way home, we actually did some geocaching. And I'm not going to bore you with geocaching talk on this show, because I think I talked about it enough on my previous show that I don't really need to do that. So anyway, hello, everybody. And this is, excuse me. Yeah, I need a cough here, so hang on a second. I got a bit of a late start today, folks, and I'm kind of feeling that because I didn't wake up until almost 8:45, and that's just way too late, and I didn't have a chance to do any of my vocal warm-ups because I do actually do my sort of theatrical vocal warm-ups before I do the show, and I didn't have time today, so I just really feel phlegmy, I guess you could say. And hello, Suko. Suko is the writing here. When we go canoeing, we take off from near the parking lot, and then they drive you back downstream to pick up your car. Yeah, that was the way they did it when my best friend Paul, who I'll be doing a podcast with in the upcoming months. It's not happening quite yet, but it's going to happen. Anyway, Paul and I went last year up to Wisconsin, and we canoed on the Kickapoo River, and that was how they did it there. You actually launch from the place where you rent the canoe, and then they tell you that they have these markers sort of along the stream. And they're like, I don't know if they're mile markers or what they are. I think they're actually like U.S. Geological Survey markers, and you have to go to a certain one of them. And then they pick you up there and they drive you back. So I guess it works both ways. But I like saying the word Kickapoo, by the way. Now, that's a much more challenging river, the Kickapoo, than the Fox River. The Fox River is a really good river for beginners. But it's not such a great, if you're really an experienced canoeist, if you're somebody who really has a lot of experience with it, the Fox River might be a little boring for you, but because Pete is not very experienced canoeing, we have kind of purposely chosen to go to these rather easier rivers. Now, I think he's gotten to a point now, and we've been out four times now, where he has become very, very good helper at helping steer and so forth. And I'm beginning to think that maybe he's ready for a tougher river. And so I do think that at some point we will be going to Wisconsin or maybe the Apple River or somewhere like that, and actually picking up something a little bit harder for him to keep him more interesting. Suko is telling me here, you pay for a certain number of miles or hours. I think it's hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, etc. And there are markers. We go to Pond Eddy between Pennsylvania and New York. Sounds lovely, actually. Now, is that a very hilly area, Succo, or is that just sort of a flat? You know, the thing about Illinois is that the landscape is all very flat. You don't see, you know, spectacular scenery of hills and that sort of thing. And mainly what you see is the riverbanks on either side of you, because you're actually below the level of all the fields and things. Now, one interesting thing about the Succo is saying it's hilly. Okay, that sounds lovely, actually. That is sort of the way it is up by the Kickapoo up in Wisconsin, but not so much down here, because down here we're actually in a prairie. So it's a little bit different. But the one interesting thing now, the difference between the two liveries that we've used up in Wedron, is at the very end of the trail that we did last weekend, you passed through downtown Wedron, which is a tiny, tiny little town. The only thing in Wedron that's really notable at all is there's a silica works. So basically these people, they make sand, or they process sand, clean sand, sell it for construction or for sandboxes. I don't know what they do with it, but they have this great big silica plant there, and they filled the trucks with silica. And we got to kind of float past this plant, and I thought it was really, really interesting, because you're right next to it. Succo's saying they make glass. Yeah, I don't think they make glass there, though. I don't think it's big enough to account for that, because basically they've got it's a good sized building, but it's not enormous. You know, I think that's where they actually like mine the sand or something, because we saw them taking the sand and pouring it into these tanker truck looking things, and then the tanker truck would like take it away. So so there's no silica use. Succo, are you telling me that there's no use for silica? Are you except for glass? I don't know. It looked like sand to me. So maybe that's something I should research and not be so lazy. Which brings me to one of topics for today. Excuse me. It brings me to the topic today of are we too lazy? And I talked a little bit about this in previous shows. And I've heard other hosts as well. I think Paul was talking about this a little bit on his show. The whole idea of people just kind of being lazy. And you can see it in a lot of different aspects of our lives. And I'm not so much talking about physically lazy, as far as not wanting to go up and go out and do stuff. I talked about that a little bit last week on the show about the great outdoors and how people don't like to go out. You're afraid of getting dirty or sweaty or whatever, and so they would rather just stay inside it all. That's not really what I'm talking about, because even though that is, I think that's a very important thing to address in our society, and that people do need to keep more active. But we have a lot of fat people in this country, folks, and I think it's getting to be the same in Britain too, and Germany and a lot of other places where, you know, obesity has become this horrible, horrible epidemic, and the only real cure for being obese is to get out and move around. And, you know, I don't have any room to talk. I really don't. I'm kind of a heavy guy. I've been heavy for a long time. I've been heavy all my life, really, and just have been fighting it for my whole life. But getting out and about, I think, is really, really important, and actually moving around. And that's sort of the thing that we have in this country. But that's not really what I'm talking about either. Because I think that as bad as that is, and all the various health problems and things that kind of brings to you, it's what I find really troubling and disturbing is the intellectual laziness that I see. So if anybody has any thoughts on that, they can feel free to call in. Of course, the Skype address is United Kingdom Radio, and we also do... Oh, let me just play the contact jingle. That might be a good idea.
Chaps, contacting United Kingdom could not be easier. Uh-huh. You can contact us via the telephone 020-3287-1488. Uh-huh. Or if you have Skype, call us on United Kingdom Radio. All one word, United Kingdom Radio. Uh-huh. Remember, your call is important to us. Uh-huh.
And that was the contact jingle. Thanks, Chris, for listening. You are actually, Chris is letting me know that everything sounds great. So good. Fantastic. And I kind of thought it was. I did a little bit of a test on my own Ustream before I started. And we're kind of transitioning over to a new system. And that I probably will be using next week because I've got everything installed. I've got all the settings set. The only thing I don't know is how well it works. So that is something that I'll have to do sometime this week. It has been very, you know, speaking of laziness, I've been such a slug this week as far as recording stuff, because as you guys know, I stopped doing my pre-recorded show. Episode 100 was the last one for now. It's not the last one forever. It's just I'm taking a break. I'm just going off and doing something else for a little bit, and then kind of recharge batteries and then possibly coming back and doing other types of podcasts. And I know I've mentioned the comics podcast that I'm going to be doing with Paul, but it's a matter of getting him in order, getting him set up with the external mic and getting things ready to go on that, and also finding time for him to do it because he's very, very busy during the summer because he lives up in Finland. And they spend all summer in the woods out at the summer place. And so I think it might be the first snowfall before I actually get going on anything new. But I have been really, really lax with recording anything this week. I've got a lot of audio correspondence and stuff to catch up on. So that's all very exciting. Anyway, if anybody has any thoughts on this idea of laziness or being intellectually lazy, please feel free to Skype in. Now, in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the musical clips. Nobody has guest on this week, and it doesn't seem like a lot of people are very interested in this feature now. So if I don't get response, I'm going to maybe try to transition this feature out. Yeah, because you got to keep things fresh. You got to keep, you know, if people, nobody is going to play the games, then, you know, don't play the games. I know people don't always tune in to hear you play a game, but you know, maybe it keeps people engaged in a way. Anyway, so here's the three musical clips, and the person who can name all three, the artist and the name of the song, will win a prize. Yes, I have real prizes here, folks. So here we go. Here are the three musical clips. There's our three musical clips for this week. If anybody knows the name of the song and the artist, they can feel free to contact the show either by Skype or by email. Yes, you can email the show. It's tom@unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. Or indeed, you can email my other email address, which is tom@tomharrisusa.com. And I will let you know whether or not you got it right. Now, a little bit later in the show today, maybe if I have time, going to talk a little bit about Berlin. As you folks may know, may not know, on my podcast, I was doing this little feature called Tom's Travels. And I would pick a different place that I've been to, and I would talk a little bit about you know, my visits to those places, the sort of thing, my impressions of a certain place. And I've, you know, kind of been going in alphabetical order. And I've decided that on Quiet Shows, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start doing that feature on the live show. And if people want to, of course, participate, they're always welcome to do so. So that may be coming a little bit later on in the program. But what I mean when I was talking a little bit earlier about being intellectually lazy, this is something that I've been noticing, and I'm noticing it more and more, folks. More and more, I've seen that people don't want to think for themselves. And I guess it's a natural tendency not to. But there's a lot of people out there who seem to want to allow other people to think for them. They don't want to take the time and take the effort to formulate opinions based on facts, because formulating opinions based on facts mean you have to go out and you have to research the facts. And that is work. That actually takes time. This is the sort of thing that I would talk about on the pre-recorded show, and I know that Atticus talks about this on his show as well, where you have these people who they just have decided for whatever reason, whether it's laziness or whether it's a lack of intellectual curiosity or whatever, have decided that they don't think it's worth it to look into issues themselves. They want to be spoon-fed information. And the tendency that I'm seeing is that people, when they get this mindset, they tend to gravitate towards news sources or media sources that confirm their own personal biases. So, for example, if they're a left-wing bias, they're going to go to sort of left-wing websites. They're going to go to MSNBC, which I think is probably the most liberal of the mainstream media outlets in this country. If they're more conservative, they're going to be going on to Fox News, which is sort of the most blatantly biased in the conservative direction. And there's nothing wrong with going to a particular news source if you favor that source. But I don't think that it can be underestimated how important it is to actually critically look at the news sources that you're hearing and look into, especially if you get a very sort of contentious issue like gay marriage, and you're hearing what both sides are saying, and you just sort of you have your own biases and you kind of believe it. Suko is saying that she has a good example today. Yeah, please feel free to call in, Suko. I have a message here. This is Vicky Gannon. And I think that this was a message for Chris. Oh, okay, here's one. Hi, Tom. You mentioned taking a break to recharge the batteries. Yes, indeed. That's what I'm doing right now. Sometimes mental laziness is just that, but sometimes it's good to take a break and then come back refreshed. There was a series of articles in the New York Times late last spring about how we don't deal with the huge loads of information that comes at us from all directions. When is mental laziness bad, and when does it have therapeutic values? I think we all know when we're being lazy and when we just need some downtime. Yes. I think that's a great point, Vicky. Absolutely. I totally agree with you there. That is one of the aspects that we have to deal with in the modern world that they just didn't have years ago. Even when I remember being back in my 20s, that was before the internet. Or I shouldn't say before the internet, because ARPANET and things like that existed, but before the general populace had access to the internet. And, our news sources were newspapers, TV, books. That was a radio. That was pretty much it. Now today, you have all these information sources online. Now, the problem with that is you get a lot of nonsense online, because anybody can post anything online. And that's something that we really didn't have when we were younger, where we had, at least some semblance of journalism in TV news or newspapers. And that's another thing that I'm seeing, even those media outlets, especially television, have become so lazy about their news gathering. And I think a good example of that is this Shirley Sherrod incident that happened recently here in the U.S. where, somebody who had a political axe to grind took a video clip of somebody and edited it, or as Ross Patzell would say, edited it, and made it look like she was saying something she wasn't. And this actually caused her to lose her job. And she had a federal job. And then it came to light, of course, that this thing had been edited all to heck. And they offered her job back and she didn't go back or whatever. You know, she worked for the Department of Agriculture, I believe. And, you know, and this is because it was a political hatchet job done by a political operative. It had nothing to do with the media, but this is where the laziness comes in. The media reported it as though it were true. They didn't fact check it. They didn't do anything. They just kind of reported it because they have this 24-hour news cycle now. And they have these 24-hour news networks, and they have to have material to broadcast on the 24-hour news networks. So, Vicky says, I see where you're going. Don't confuse me with facts. Yeah, and that is a lot of the problem as I see it. Intellectual laziness, I think, it's a big problem. Because so much information gets spread around by people who just sort of accept things uncritically. Now, as an atheist, I also argue that religion's been doing the same thing for years, for centuries. But I'm really not talking about that right now. I'm talking mainly about, you know, the media. I'm talking really about our everyday sort of existence, humdrum sort of thing. I talked a little bit about this when I was talking about forwarded emails. This was a few shows ago now. And I was talking about some forwarded emails that people have been reading out on their shows. And I never trust anything I get as a forwarded email. And I think that's kind of a good policy for anybody, is to just not believe everything you hear, especially if it comes in a forwarded email. Because and I think the example that I gave was this one about margarine. And I kind of went through that, and you know, you can go to Snopes.com and you can check the facts yourself. But a lot of people just sort of pass this stuff on as though it's true because they get it from their friends. And who doesn't trust their friends? You know, and because there's a lot of this, what they call confirmation bias in there. But also, you know, considering the source. If your aunt sends you something, you kind of expect it to be true because you trust your aunt. Oh, we have a call coming in. Hello on Skype.
Hi, Tom. Hi. It's Sue.
It's Zuko. Hello, Zuko. How are you?
That whole Shirley Sherrod thing was a big debacle.
It was terrible.
It was Andrew Breitbart.
Yep. He was the same guy. He was the same guy who did the hatchet job on Acorn.
Right, and they take it out. They take clips and they take it out of context.
Right.
And she was offered a better job, but she didn't take it.
If you had been treated the way Shirley Sherrod was treated, would you want to go back to working for the same people?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't blame her. Anyway, go ahead.
She'll go on to bigger and better things. Anyway, somebody called my show a few weeks ago and asked me for my my opinion about the so-called mosque, which it isn't really a mosque. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she wanted me to answer off the top of my head. And I had been reading about it, but, you know, I wasn't really that knowledgeable.
Right.
So off the top of my head, I just answered, well, I support it because freedom of religion is a constitutional right. Mm-hmm. But I don't like to do that. I don't like to say things, especially over the air, unless I've really looked into anything, you know, into it from all directions. I like to see all sides of an issue before I make a statement about anything. Mm-hmm. Like if I get an email from somebody with information like that, I won't just read it. I'll check into it. And on another show, another presenter called in and was talking about that. And I called in and I said, well, obviously you haven't listened to my show because I had this Muslim woman on.
I heard that show.
Yeah, and it refuted everything this person said. Mm-hmm. You know? And I only had her on because I had gotten so obsessed with the issue. And I was reading so many things about it, and I had formed an opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a fair opinion. And I wanted a Muslim woman, an innocent Muslim woman who's taken taken a lot of crap for just being Muslim, you know, on. Another thing is on Jay Leno's show, mm-hmm. He does that thing where he interviews people on the street and he asks them questions like, who's the vice president, and, about the latest issues. And people are really stupid. I mean, he asked a doctor. He asked a doctor something like, who's the Secretary of State? And she didn't know. And I mean, I don't know if I'd want her for my doctor. It wasn't that simple. It was something that she absolutely should have known.
Right, right.
And you think, well, would I want her, you know, diagnosing me?
Yeah. Well, the
is
other
she getting
thing,
her information from?
Yeah. The other thing, though, Suko, about that is that if you're on the street and somebody sticks a TV camera in your face, you're going to get a heck of a case of nerves if you're a normal person.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
so people just have, you know, brain cramps all the time and they're faced in a situation like that. That doctor, after, you know, just after they shut the camera off and is going, it's Biden, it's Biden.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I know that. I get mental blocks myself.
Yeah.
And, I understand that. Something just happened. Hold on.
Oh! And that was Suko from New York having a mishap of some sort here. I'm sure Suko will be right back with us. She's still on the line. She just had dropped, spilled her coffee or something.
No. I thought somebody fell. It was a really loud thump in the bathtub, but it was the mirror fell down.
Ah, okay. Vicky is recommending factcheck.org. And that is definitely a site that I'm very, supportive of, especially when it involves things like politics. And I think that it's run by the Annenberg Institute, incidentally, which is a nonpartisan think tank. And I'm going to read this here, Suko. Vicky says, even if you enjoy the tyranny of the familiar, as I call it, left-wingers listening to only left-wing media and likewise for right-wingers, how much of it can you take before your mind flattens out? Loads of pundits repeating what other pundits say. Very little of what you hear is original thought. Absolutely agree. I need a little bell thing. Ding, 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 ding. Absolutely correct.
Yeah, that's true.
The beauty of the internet is that there are primary source documents out there. Statutes, cases, regs, etc. And you do have to put some effort into finding them. But there's more access to all of that than there ever was before. Yeah, Vicky, I mean, yeah, we're not disagreeing at all here. But the thing is, it does take effort to find them. So people don't want to do it. That's sort of my sense. Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you with factcheck.org. And I quite often will recommend that people will go there.
Yeah, I use it too. And, you know, I even, when I do my Broadway reports, you know, sometimes I'm not a critic. So sometimes I report on shows that I haven't seen.
I'm shocked, Suko. I'm shocked. I'm horrified.
and they know this. I'll read like 10 reviews and I'll get a general consensus. And I'll say this is the general consensus of critics. You know?
Well, as long as that's what you're saying, then I don't see any problem with that.
Because I'm not a critic. I just report on what's new in on Broadway, in case anyone from that area who's listening is coming to New York. And then they can form their own opinion of what they want to see. You know, you can't see too many.
Right.
Expensive and the time factor.
So, getting off this subject for just a second, have you seen The Addams Family yet?
No, but I know you saw it in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, you should go see it.
Well, you know, right now I won't go because Nathan Lane's on vacation.
Oh, yeah. I guess that would be.
When he comes back, I'll try to. It was hard this summer. I was pretty sick all summer.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have Nathan Lane at our performance either. We had the understudy, whose name I don't remember.
Was it Ford? What's his name?
I think so, yeah.
He's doing it now.
Yeah, he was
fine.
And
he's very good.
Yeah.
He's like a professional understudy.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, somebody has to do it, right?
He's very good. But, I mean, if I'm going to see it, I might as well see it with Nathan Lane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we were a little bit disappointed that Nathan Lane wasn't in ours, but he was fine, you know, and we didn't really have that much objection. We enjoyed the show overall. But anyway, I'm going to get back on the subject. Vicky says, step one is to question what you hear. are people even doing that? Yes. Yeah, I think that people do question what they hear, but they're, you know, when they think about that, it's all a matter of confirmation bias. You know, saying, well, this is coming from Fox News, therefore it has to be fake. You know, there's a lot of that involved in that. Vicky goes on to say, what worries me is that attitude that has people passively accepting all of what they hear. That's precisely what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And you know, the way people are just kind of passively kind of accepting what they're told and not checking in anything themselves. And this is a big part of what I used to talk about on my podcast a lot, because that really leads you to getting a very poorly informed, you know, view of a topic.
That's right.
And you know, I had discussions with my brother at the family reunion about this whole mosque thing. And it seemed very clear to me that he's getting most of his analysis in this from Fox News, which I would certainly not expect from him. It's really frustrating for those of us who actually do look into stuff and take the time to actually look into it. But it is true, you know, people do question what they hear. Now, one of the problems that we have, of course, is that some people question things too much. So it's what I call the echo chamber of doubt, where people will question things to a fault, which means that they're not going to believe what anybody says. It's their own perceptions that they're trusting and not any kind of, it's like the opposite. It's like, yeah, but again, it's subject to confirmation bias.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and I think the best example of that would be the conspiracy theorists.
Yeah,
and they kind of keep to their own little world, and they have their own sites, and everybody quotes each other, and yeah, you know, they kind of use each other as the resources. So you look at this document that has all these citations. But all of the references and all the citations are from other conspiracy theorists.
Right.
They're not actually getting any information from any kind of credible source. And
I mean, it's pretty scary to think that Glenn Beck has such a big following, that people, you know, regard his word as the word of God, you know.
Oh, yeah. Now, have you heard that Glenn Beck now is teaching history courses?
Yeah.
And this guy has no teaching credentials. This guy has no credibility as a historian whatsoever. And it's going back now, this is actually a good point. This is something I was going to bring up. And thank you very much, Zuko, for bringing this up. Because back in the old days, back in my day, was, you know, we were spoon-fed American history in a way that was very sort of pro-nationalist, you know, the U.S. could do no wrong. You know, it was a very sort of hyper-patriotism that came out of World War II. And I'm sure you're about my age, so you probably had that same experience when you were a kid as well.
Right, but you know what? Back then, there wasn't as much history.
Yeah, well, you can say that, but I don't know. You know, it's only been 50 years. You know, it really hasn't been... Well, a lot has happened in that 50 years, absolutely. But now what was interesting is back in the 70s, the kind of historians in general kind of decided, okay, we've got to stop doing this. This isn't a healthy thing to do. We need to start teaching history as it really happened and basically bringing in voices that were being ignored. And so have you ever read the book Zuko Lies My Teacher Told Me?
No, I know of it, but
yeah,
I haven't read it.
I highly recommend that to anybody who's interested in the way that history classes are taught in the U.S. I don't think it would apply to places like the U.K. so much, but the fact is you've got, you know, basically, you know, 400 years of American history, and only, you know, 100 of that are really taught. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you don't hear about at all. You know, you hear about the Pilgrims, and then immediately it's 1776. Mm-hmm. But people don't realize that was 150 years later. There was a lot of history that happened in between. Yeah, but it's interesting how, you know, what happened was you had this, you know, this, you know, they were doing history in a different way, you know, after the 1970s and starting to incorporate more than just one viewpoint, because it used to be that, you know, the victors control history. They write the history, the ones who won. And that's not true anymore. I think that the internet has rendered that idea obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good thing. But what you have now is you have a push from, and I think it's mainly from the political right in this country, to go back to what it was in the 1950s, which is America can do no wrong. We've always done everything perfectly right. There's, you know, the only words that really count are those of white Christian conservative Americans.
Right.
Well, and I think that's what Glenn Beck wants to get back to.
I'm sorry. I defended the U.S. because somebody said that we're responsible for everything.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I defended the U.S. because we're not. We're very good people. The people themselves are very good people. But, I mean, look at what they did to the Indians, the Trail of Tears and the internment camps during World War II. I mean, what they did to the Japanese Americans, putting them in internment camps. I mean, that was horrendous.
And you know, people say, well, you know, that was a less enlightened era. That could never happen again. I think it totally could happen again.
It totally could happen again. We have to not let it happen again.
Right. And I think that you've got the same forces, you know, in play here. Especially right now, when you have this, you know, whipping up of fear against certain groups of people, and particularly Muslims at this point,
right,
where you have to, that's something we really need to worry about. And
well, go ahead.
But yeah, you can say, well, the government apologized to the Japanese. It's not really quite the same.
No, it's not the same.
But at the same time, you know, you get people who want to go back, and you're talking about people who are alive today wanting reparations for slavery.
Right.
I mean, that to me, that's a ludicrous idea because it's a ludicrous idea because, you know, these people who are wanting these reparations have never been the victims of slavery.
No.
And if there were any actual slaves alive, then I might think differently about it.
Right.
But that's just not the case. Vicky goes on to say, does the media actually want us to think for ourselves? No, I don't think they do. Are they afraid we'll seek out information somewhere else? I don't think they care about that. I think that, you know, that they kind of consider themselves the source. But I don't think they want us to think for themselves because that would put them out of a job.
Right. They want to sell papers and airtime.
They want to have their, you know, because I don't think that a lot of these news stations make a lot of money off of their news broadcasts. I think what they make their money off of is their analysis.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, you get Bill O'Reilly or you get you know, Rachel Maddow, who I actually happen to like.
I love her.
But you get your there's any number of different things. You know, those are the shows that get people talking.
Yeah.
Just having their newscaster sitting there reading the news is not, you know, that's not a very, I don't think that's where they make their money. I don't think that's where they generate any of their buzz. Vicky has written more here. And agreed, people who question everything endlessly is also a problem. Taken to the extreme are Holocaust deniers. I have no patience for that. Yeah, and that's something you'll get a lot of, and we're seeing a lot of that now. Not necessarily the Holocaust deniers in particular.
9/11 deniers.
We have 9/11 deniers, right, exactly. Any kind of big event, you're going to have somebody who thinks, well, I don't believe that, well, how many people actually deny that 9/11 happened? I don't know.
Well, Ahmadinejad made a speech recently saying that the Holocaust never happened and 9/11 was caused by the Jews.
Right.
Because he didn't see the list of the victims, but he said there were no Jews on the list. So I think it was on your show, I read a list of Jewish names that were on the list of victims.
I think that was
like Goldstein and Cohen and Levine.
I think that was on Stacy's show. But it doesn't matter. I remember hearing that, though. I totally agree with you. that's, you know, Adam Minajad is he's a real basket case. But I think he's also one of these people who doesn't I don't think he's very intellectually curious. No. I don't get the sense from him that he actually knows what he's talking about. And I don't know whether he is being spoon-fed information that, you know, and of course confirming his own biases, or whether he's just stupid.
Well, they do have biases that, you know, they're lifelong biases.
Right. Cultural bias.
Cultural. So, you know, and they're not open to hearing other views and other possibilities. Mm-hmm.
Vicky goes on to say, also, I'm afraid it will devolve to the point where the only history taught is that for which we have audio and video available, also a symptom of intellectual laziness. I think that's already happening, but as we saw with Shirley Sherrod, just having something on audio and video is no guarantee that what you're getting is accurate. That's the thing, you know, as long as you have people out there who want to edit, you know, the footage, just like saying 9/11 never happened would be a ludicrous idea because we have so much documentary evidence for it. But and you can say even, you know, like the Peloponnesian War, you know, something that happened a long, long, long time ago. You know, there's a lot of documentary evidence for it. But the evidence doesn't always say the same thing.
Yeah.
So we know that something happened, but we don't know every detail. We don't know who is the more accurate. The Roman historians were horribly inaccurate at times. you know, especially people like Tacitus, who would just make stuff up. Mm-hmm. If they didn't know something, they would just they would guess. You know, they would write it in their history. I have a message here. Sorry about the Suka. Sean is writing and he's letting me. Okay, that's nothing important. Hello, Sean. I will let you know when I'm going off then. Okay. All right, so Sean is out there. And now, if for those of you who are new to United Kingdom Radio, I will be followed by Sean Riches at 5 o'clock UK time, which is 11 a.m. here in the States. So Suka, what's going on? Are you getting a lot of rain now from Earl?
No, we had no rain at all.
Because he's brought us fantastic weather.
Yeah, today it's gorgeous.
Uh-huh. It's just absolutely brilliant the last 2 days, and we're going to go out. Pete and I are going to go out not after the show, but later tomorrow probably. Go out and do more exploring around the countryside, which ought to be fun. But if anybody else has any thoughts on this topic that we're talking about today, please let me know. I'm not going to have time to talk about Berlin today. I guess I'm going to have to save that for the next show. Because time flies when you're having fun. And we are having 10 minutes to the end of the show here.
It's always great to have carryover material.
It's fantastic to have carryover material.
It really is.
You'll be thinking about, oh gosh, what do I talk about in the next show? One of the nice things, though, this is kind of a peek behind the curtain, folks, is that, you know, because I'm not doing my podcast anymore, I'll think of these topics like I would still be doing my podcast. I like this one. It's kind of me musing about something at work. Now, we have a woman at work. I'm not going to say too much more than that. She's somebody who I kind of work with. She's not really in my office. She's one of those people who forwards these emails. And it's funny sometimes to hear the stuff that comes out of her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And the you know, she actually repeated the one the one about margarine to me the other day, and that was the one. It's like, I'm ready for that one. Did I tell you? Did I mention the experiment I did with the margarine?
You mentioned it on your show.
I put a clump of margarine and a clump of butter out of my windowsill because the idea of one of the emails was that margarine is so nasty that even bugs won't eat it. The flies won't eat it.
Mm-hmm. And so chemicals.
Well, not really. It's not. That's the thing. It's vegetable oil. But it's
vegetable oil with additives.
Right. There's additives like coloring and salt and, you know, that sort of thing, too. But what I did was I put out a lump of butter and a lump of margarine out of my windowsill. And the bugs didn't touch either one. Because that's not the sort of thing that bugs like.
They're smart.
They're smart. But they didn't want the butter either. So if anybody tells you...
they probably don't eat fat.
That's right. The bugs don't like that kind of food. That's why they won't bother it. But what's interesting is that the margarine melted away in about 2 hours. It was gone. It melted. But the butter stayed around for like 3 days.
That's scary. That's staying in your gut, too, for 3 days.
I have a message here from Mikey. Mikey says, that thing about margarine being one molecule from plastic, that is total bull. Yes, that's absolutely correct. Margarine is a lot more than one molecule from being plastic. Butter has a nicer taste, I totally agree with. And I'm getting other messages. Oh, this must have been from Chris's show, from Mikey. Oh, Mikey. Can you know, getting back to the subject of intellectual laziness and all that, trying to think of, you know, how do you combat that? What can you do? I mean, I can come on here on the radio and I can talk about this and warn people about it, or I can kind of present my analysis. But what good does that actually do?
Why should they believe you?
Why should they believe me? In fact, I often have said on my podcast, you know, you shouldn't believe me. That anything I say, you should go and you know, confirm yourself. But what can we do about this whole idea? What can we do to get people more engaged in being responsible for learning the real facts about things? It's a really tough question, and if I knew the answer to that, I'd be rich.
Well, some people just don't have an appetite for it.
Right, exactly.
And they'll never have it.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think that in any society, you're going to get people who don't want to think for themselves, and they want to be spoon-fed, but it's because it's easier.
It's much easier.
It's why people join cults. You know, they don't want to actually take responsibility for making the world better.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they don't want to take responsibility. It's not their job. They're not paying me to do that. You know, I have another message here from Basil. Hello, Basil. It's been a while since I've heard from you. Basil says, "Hi, Tom. In this country, not only are people thinking less for themselves, they're increasingly just following the popular view on everything for fear of being seen as not one of the pack. Because of this, anything the media decides should be popular or unpopular is easily followed by the masses. The masses are asses. No wonder we have so few demonstrations nowadays. It's about time people started to be proud to be different again." That's a good take on it. We see the same thing here, I think. I mean, it doesn't explain, you know, all of the politics and things, but it certainly explains why people like Madonna have a following.
That's a great example.
I think maybe Madonna is not even a good example, but like the Jonas Brothers or Miley Cyrus, you know, because I think Madonna even has more artistic integrity than they do, which is kind of sad. I'm not a Madonna fan.
She's got more years on them, too.
She's got more years. She's been around longer. She has a larger body of work to point at. But you have the teen idols and all that. Justin Bieber, that's a great example.
That's a good one.
That's a great example.
Justin Bieber. Cool.
Or Justine Bieber, as a lot of people call him. You look at that kid. I mean, the stuff he's doing is nothing special. It's not the worst music in the world. But it's also not very good.
No.
You know, he's going to be remembered for about 5 years and then, you know, he'll be gone. Unless he's, you know, goes to rehab or something and then people want news about that.
Well, he was very entrepreneurial for himself. Or maybe his family were.
His parents, yeah. It's kind of the typical. Have you ever run into stage parents?
Yes. Jay, you know, my daughter is a dancer, and she modeled too, and we got out of that quick because the parents were horrendous. It wasn't the kids. It was the parents. Some of the kids were pretty obnoxious, but the parents were really awful.
Did any of them have, like, the beehive hairdo and the clipboard and that sort of the stereotypical?
I have to say, most of them were obese.
Right.
Generally speaking, they were obese. They were living their lives vicariously through their children.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly the point I was going to make. It's interesting. My cousin was telling me at the family reunion that her younger daughter, who's, I think, 4 months old, is going to be in a movie. And she was all excited about this. And she says that she's, you know, her goal is to become one of these stage parents. She's saying it completely tongue-in-cheek, of course.
I say if you know, because I'm always talking about Jade, and sometimes I think, oh, I must be boring everybody, and I think, oh, if I'm becoming a stage mother, shoot me.
I understand you talking about Jade because you're very proud of your daughter, and there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, what do you do?
I just hope I'm not, you know, boring people, and well, you know, this was a little girl who came from
nothing. As long as every show is not about Jade, I don't see any problem with it.
Oh, Mikey wants you to define stage mother.
Oh, Mikey wants me to define it.
Or me?
I think I've had less contact with them than maybe probably Zuko has, but I've seen them in theater, working in theater. Okay, so Mikey, a stage mother. And Suko, you can add or correct or whatever if I'm wrong. A stage mother is a parent of a young person who is an actor or whatever, or a singer, etc. And they manage their child's career. And everything they do is based on what the parents think they should be doing. And they kind of manipulate their kids or whatever. And maybe the kid wants to be doing it. Sometimes they don't. But they kind of living vicariously through their kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll talk to another person whose child is auditioning for the same thing, telling them all these great roles they've had. And, like, they don't want to hear what your kid has done, you know.
So
it's like your kid is out of the picture.
Right. They're basically focused on their own little world.
Yeah.
And they don't really care about. And that's not a good way to build teamwork, and that's a bad example for the kids, I think. And
yeah.
You know, the kid actors who I've worked with who've had parents like that have usually had a lot of issues with working as a team. Because they want to shine, because their parents are going to whoop them if they don't. Anyway, I'm running out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and say good evening. Thank you very much, Suko, for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome, Tom.
And stay tuned for Sean Riches, who's going to be with you in about a minute. So, Sean, go ahead and log into Skype, and I'll let you know when you can to start broadcasting. All right, so, everybody, this is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. Thanks for listening. It's been a great show, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.